Our Bible study tonight is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 16 through 33, valuing the great service records of godly ministers. 2 Corinthians was written to defend the authenticity of Paul's apostleship and his message to a church of believers who were susceptible to heeding false teachers who critiqued him. The mingling of immature and carnal believers, according to 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3, with false apostles, 2 Corinthians 11, 13-15 at Corinth, left Paul having to give his credentials, much like what the false apostles gave to persuade weak believers to follow his teaching versus that of the false apostles. Paul's then listing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 16-33, his great service record is valuable not only for the Corinthians of his day, but it's also applicable for our insight and for our edification. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians 11, 16 through 33. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak as it as not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing that you yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Albeit, whereunsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended, and I am burned not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concerneth my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knows that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Fascinating. Paul began to relate his great service record by again expressing his dismay at having to stoop to such lowly boasting, but nevertheless choosing to do so in order to convince weak, carnal believers not to follow the boasts of false apostles, but to heed his own ministry. It's unfortunate, but sometimes you have to do that. You have to, you know, if people are going to hold up some false servant of the Lord or false teacher, and they use carnal or fleshy credentials, then you have to come back with fleshly credentials. And it's something you don't want to do, but sometimes that's the only way to communicate to people. Well, the Apostle Paul then gave his great service record as a godly worker for the Lord in verses 21 through 33. Paul claimed that he was bold in his ministry, just like the false apostles boasted of themselves. This claim, of course, carried some weight because the wicked generally fear where the righteous are bold. Proverbs 28:1, we mentioned this Wednesday night. The Proverbs there says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth. In other words, they're paranoid. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. One of the characteristics of a person who's upright versus a person who isn't is that the person who's upright has courage and is firm in the convictions, where a person who is not upright is wishy-washy and has a tendency to be afraid and back away. Paul also claimed that he had a pedigree of standing in his heritage as the false apostles did. Like the false apostles claimed, Paul was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. And like the false apostles claimed, Paul was of the nation Israel. He wasn't a Hebrew because he became someone who was a convert to Judaism and so forth. He was born of the nation. He was of the nation Israel itself. And then, like the false apostles claimed, Paul was also of Abraham's seed. He was Jewish by birth. Yet, though the false apostles claimed to serve Christ, Paul's service far exceeded their service. The apostle claimed that then listed the numerous experiences he had faced in serving the Lord, far more than the false apostles could claim as follows. Now, it's interesting, what Paul uses to boast here is something that a false apostle wouldn't, because a false apostle would not begin to do or to face what Paul had faced and stay in the ministry very long. False apostles are very self-centered. They're very worldly. They don't put up with much suffering. If there's a lot of pain involved, they quit. They get out of it. But look what Paul did. Paul had performed far greater labors. He had experienced countless numbers of beatings for Christ, often near to the point of death. 5 times he had received 39 lashes by the Jews, and 3 times beaten with rods. The reason the Jews beat them with 39 is the Bible taught that they were not supposed to exceed 40 lashes. So just in case they miscounted, they wanted to make sure that they didn't disobey the law, so they gave a person only 39 lashes. But these 39 lashes were with a whip that was embedded with pieces of glass and so forth. They'd whipped across the bare back and then pulled and stripped, and it was designed to strip the flesh down to the muscles and so forth. Paul had faced that 5 times. His back was nothing but a big old scar, all right? And he was 3 times beaten with rods. These are huge rods, rattan rods, like kind of what they would use down in the Southeast Asia, that often they knock people out. The pain is so intense. And Paul had been beaten 3 times of those. Paul had been stoned once and left for dead. That happened in Derbe and Lystra. 3 times he was shipwrecked in his missionary travels. On one of his shipwrecks, Paul had been adrift at sea for a night and a day. So he'd gone through exposure that way. He had faced danger numerous times. Danger from rivers, from robbers, from his own Hebrew people, from Gentiles. Danger in the city and the wilderness. Danger at sea. Danger from false brethren. He had faced the hardships of toil. Many sleepless nights. Hunger. Thirst. He lacked food, warmth, and adequate clothing in winter. In fact, when Paul is in the maritime prison, it's in the late fall, in 2 Timothy, he asks Timothy to bring his coat. See, he's cold, and he can't get warm. He doesn't have a warm blanket. They don't give you nice blankets in a Roman prison. You just do what you can with you can. So he's asking Timothy to bring the clothing. Aside from all these trials, Paul had the daily pressure on him of his care for all the churches in which were weak believers, Christians who fall into sin and spiritual defeat. And of course, this would all make Paul angry and upset that people were being mistreated this way or being misled. And on top of that, he was facing his own challenges. Paul added that if he were to boast, he would boast about those things that displayed his human weakness, asserting that God the Father in Jesus Christ knew that he was not lying. See, the list that we've just gone through here tonight, a false prophet wouldn't have gone through half of it. He wouldn't have gone through a third of it. The first beating, he would say, I quit. I'm out of here. But Paul didn't. He stayed with it. And that demonstrates that he was operating by a motivation that was superhuman, by a power that was superhuman. Finally, Paul added that the governor under King Aretas had once guarded the city of Damascus in order to capture him, but he was let down on Damascus through a window in the wall to escape his hands. We know that from Acts 9 and Acts 10. That's the event when Paul was first saved. So being forced to have to boast in his great service record opposite the record of the false apostles so as to convince the carnal, immature Corinthian believers to heed his teaching over that of the false apostles, Paul asserted that though both the false apostles and he were bold, had the same pedigree as real Jews, etc., when it came to actual service for Christ, Paul had faced far more hardships, suffering, injustices, persecutions than the false apostles, indicating his definite superiority in spiritual power over the false men who would have quit ministry long before had they faced the suffering that Paul himself had faced. So though Paul felt that he had to stoop to foolishness in testifying of his accomplishments as an apostle of the Lord Jesus, the fact that he testified of the abundant difficulties he had surmounted to keep serving the Lord, what no false apostle would have tolerated, indicates there was a motivation and a power by which Paul functioned that was superhuman, the power of the Holy Spirit. So the evidence of the working of God amid his sufferings went to the credibility of Paul. So then may we read the service record of God's servants, coming to value those whose actions reveal superhuman motivation and power as testimonies of their credibility. Dr. Pentecost, who is now with the Lord, was asked during an interview back in 2000 what had most impressed him when he was a student at Dallas Seminary, and he said, by far, it was the faith of the founder of the school, Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer. The Dallas Seminary was started in the 30s, and of course it went through the Great Depression, the era of the Great Depression. And in the Great Depression, a lot of Christians just didn't have money. And they would support their church before they would support a seminary somewhere. But Dr. Pentecost said that there were any number of times, and Dr. Chafer would share with us, the time when the seminary was just about to close, many times, because there was no money. And then all of a sudden, the Lord would come through with this tremendous provision of finances and meet their need. And he said this happened time and time again. And he said the salary profs were underpaid, that they were told you're going to make $100 a month, which was a lot of money in those days. But he says, I don't know if any of them ever got up to $100. They're always underpaid. But he said they taught with passion. This is in times when they weren't even paid enough. They taught with passion because of their commitment to the Lord. And that made a tremendous impression upon those early graduates of the seminary. A number of years ago, there's a former seminary prof who was stationed here in Connecticut, and he found out I was pastoring a church, and I was visiting his home one time, and he asked me, he said, Don, are you facing any troubles in your church? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, good. I said, what do you mean? He said, that means you're rattling the devil, and he's after you. He said, the only time you have to be afraid is when everything is going smooth and creamy. There's something wrong then. But he says, if you're stirring up a hornet's nest and things are kind of rough and rocky, you ought to be happy. You're doing the will of God. And so I looked at that and I thought, we've been doing the will of God a lot over the years, because there have been many times when there have been hornet's nests that have been stirred up. And not just from one direction, sometimes from a variety of directions. Sometimes it's maybe the fire marshal comes through and he makes all sorts of demands that, you know, we wonder if he can meet. So it comes from the secular realm. Sometimes there are issues within the body itself. Sometimes there are challenges that we face in the state in which we're in, or in the country which we're in. But there has often been challenges. In fact, this afternoon I was talking to a believer in Fellowship Hall, and he spoke to me and he said, Pastor, it seems, he says, from my perspective, it seems that right now we've been facing a higher than usual level of angelic conflict. Would you agree? And I said, yeah, right now we have been. And it's true that the Lord has allowed it, and things are rough, but the Lord is providing for us. I heard this afternoon that there's a family who's been visiting our church that has approached Mr. Lee and interested in joining our church. And that's exciting. Okay, that's positive. So, you know, the devil doesn't like that. He wants to make life miserable. So we need to evaluate the ministry of people around us. I was talking with a person in Fellowship Hall today who suddenly has faced a whole list of trials, and happens to be a lady in the church. And I said, you know what? I realize you have, not long ago, you took on a special ministry within our church. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it's angelic conflict. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised at all, and the evil one's just trying to get you discouraged. So I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to stay behind you and see if the Lord works us all out. So difficulties, challenges that we face, are often something that acts in our favor, because they're a demonstration of what's going on in the spiritual realm. And if we survive these by relying on the Lord, and we survive many of them, that acts to the credibility of our ministry, because it's demonstrating the power of God. That's what we want to see. We want to see the power of God to be strong in the midst of conflict, strong in the midst of opposition from Satan and truthful. Now, of course, if we're facing opposition because we've sinned or something, okay, we got to confess and get it right with the Lord. But other than that, if we can't think of anything that we particularly have done wrong, we need to have a different view of the ministry and recognize that the Lord may actually be giving us a compliment by allowing us to see the challenges that we're facing and the way he is buoyantly carrying us along. And so we need to look at ministry differently. A lot of times in evangelical circles, people think the ministry is good only if things go smoothly. That's not so. That a genuine ministry is often will run into difficulties. You look at the life of our Lord. Man, he was opposed left and right. Paul the Apostle was constantly hounded by the Judaizers, and yet he's one of the greatest missionaries that we ever had. So we need to trust the Lord, and we need to look at the ministry from God's biblical perspective.